Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
During my own team's basketball games, they wouldn't let me sit with them. I had to go sit on another side of the bench. Yeah. So like the whole team's sitting in one place and then I'm sitting in another place. And if I came near them, they're like, get away, faggot, and all that stuff. So I never felt like I was part of the team, even though I earned my spot on the team. Mm-hmm. I felt because I worked my ass off to do it. I used to have my mom take me after my own basketball practice. She would take me to a park and I would shoot hoops until it got dark, and then when the lights came on I would still shoot hoops until my mom was like, okay, it's time to go.
I'm imagining a whole montage
Yeah. Like a Rocky
but
montage.
Imagine the Rocky montage, but then Rocky still sucks and gets his ass beat.
To Shit They Don't Tell You podcast, we are here today with Josh Osai. Wait, hold on, cut. How do you say your last name?
No, keep that in there. Osei. So it's just like, Osei. Can you?
Osei.
Got it. Very patriotic. All right. I knew that all along. I was just seeing if you guys knew.
Nice.
Thank you.
Jesus.
Thanks for
coming. You should watch the video portion of the show today, so you can see how full of shit Nikki is, like, with your eyes.
Well, we just call him Josh when we're on the show, know? Like, so I know Josh from a show called JK Party. If you want to check it out, it's on YouTube. We play party games.
Board games,
yeah. Party games, all kinds of games. They used to do punishments. That ended.
Thank God.
Sadly.
It's because everyone turned 30. Nobody wants to do that shit
anymore. Everyone's like, I don't want to.
I don't know, but like when you're really competitive and you see the other person, and you know like the stakes are really that high, and you
that's
just want to see your friend just like, take one.
But do you want to eat like a fungi, like, you know, tofu or whatever?
He's like, I eat that for breakfast.
No,
stinky tofu.
No.
Spiders.
I've never had stinky tofu.
Really?
Fuck.
No. See? I don't want to do punishments.
Yeah, the stories I've heard from you guys, like they used to have to drink a cup of everyone's saliva, stuff like that. Yeah.
See, no
the
thanks.
The grossest thing
I've
ever
heard.
See,
when it gets to saliva and when it gets to just like moving creatures, I can't.
Gag reflex enacts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't do so good in Survivor then, would you? They do all those bug challenges and shit.
As soon as the camera would probably be rolling, I just muster it all up. And
oh, really?
Try it. And then afterward, I'd just be like, oh my fucking God, I can't believe I fucking did that.
Yeah.
Just cry to myself.
Did you just kind of like suppress those memories?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's like, I take a punishment again, and then he's remembering, and he's like, it was not good. That's why we stopped.
Yeah.
Josh, when people ask about JK Party, how do you explain it to them?
I say, we play board games.
Okay, that's
and we improvise.
Good.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we play charades and stuff. Yeah, it's honestly like you went to a friend's house for game night and then they're playing games and your friends.
But then the internet is watching and then they all kind of maybe hate you or they love you or they hate your move or they loved your move.
Yeah.
Or whatever you did, they're criticizing.
They're very invested.
Imagine being at a house party, you're playing a game, and then you have people criticizing your strategies.
There's like an audience.
Yeah.
There's like thousands of people being like, what a dumb fucking move. Why would he do that shit?
He should have made those four houses into a hotel in Monopoly.
And it's like, how would I know? I don't know. I'm in the moment. You have the lights on you.
Exactly.
You have the cameras on you. You have like your peers around you.
Yeah.
It's just a completely different thing.
And because we stockpile videos, they're commenting on a game I played like 5 months ago that I totally forgot that I played.
True. So then like when they bring it up, you're just like, I'm like, wait, what?
Was that a good move? Was that a bad move?
Like, what did I do? Like,
did
what
I say something weird? Exactly. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I was just playing the game. We're actually going to talk about that today. But first, I would like you to maybe talk a little bit about yourself to the audience. Because I don't know that much about where you came from. Like, honestly, it's like you just appeared in my life for the past 2 years. I know you came from Africa originally, right?
No.
Oh, you did? You did? No, I thought you did. Is that just a running joke?
It was just like a running
bit.
It was like
a bit.
How did you not know that was a bit?
I legit thought that was real
for a long
time. That
was a bit that Joe came up with.
Yeah.
I've completely believed that to this
day. Wow.
How did you know it was a bit?
I always know when there's
I was like, dude,
bits.
Josh is so exotic. He came from Africa. I want to learn all about his culture. But now I guess I
funny.
Just wipe
you know
it off the table.
It's
wipe
your last name is exotic enough. Or
it
it's
is.
Like, maybe that's true. That's,
growing up, a lot of people thought it was either... A lot of people thought I was Japanese.
I could see that.
Oh, yeah. That, that, yeah. I
just
because that
like, the last name sounds Japanese, but no, it's actually...
Like you were raised by Japanese people or...
Yeah.
I just know it ain't
hitting,
Miller, so I'm like,
Japanese.
He's from somewhere.
Yeah.
I just thought because you don't know rap music that you like definitely weren't from LA. And so you might have been from Africa. I don't know. You could have told me anywhere at that point, and I'd have been like, well, that makes sense. He doesn't know Tupac, so...
I knew some rap music. I didn't know like a lot about rap music.
You know Eminem for sure.
We
sing Eminem together all the time, which I appreciate about you.
I loved Eminem.
So where'd you grow up?
So I grew up in... So I was born in Lakewood, New Jersey, then moved to New York for a bit, then moved to South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, then moved out here to San Gabriel.
Okay.
Yeah.
What brought you out here?
Family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So did you want to be in the industry before, or was that just something that happened? Yeah. Was that just something that happened to you?
I think it was like something that it just sort of happened, but I kind of always suppressed, just because in like growing up, I didn't think that there was any real way to, I guess I was kind of naive. I thought like there was no real way to like make like a living, or I probably wouldn't make it. But I think just by luck, I ended up in the industry.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, Josh is also a video game streamer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that what you call yourself, a streamer?
Yeah, twitch.tv/DubHalo.
Yeah, plug it. He's also DubHalo on Instagram.
Yes.
It's an Instagram influencer, so go check that out. So how did it come to you coming to JK Party?
So originally I met Joe through one of our mutual friends, and I started going on set a little bit more, just acting as a PA. So what I would do is just carry a lot of keynotes, just making sure that's set up. Sometimes I'd be in a couple of the skits.
Yeah,
I'm not
good.
Sure if like
you're good.
Like,
just, like,
talking. So sometimes I appear in a couple of skits, and then like as time progressed, I eventually started appearing in front of camera, and then started liking it.
Yeah.
And I started doing a little bit more of that. I did the social media. When JK News first started, I was doing like a few of the articles as well. Like I was like kind of like submitting the articles.
Okay.
And then got into Gamer, and then that's pretty much.
That's crazy. Like you've got a lot of history.
Yeah.
With JK, because I just heard you watered fake plants.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I heard that story.
So the story about the...
There's so many fun stories about Josh.
For those of you who don't know Josh is easily the most interesting man on the internet.
Honestly,
I think. 100%. You make everything way more entertaining. You have this energy about you where I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Which is...
That's the best part. That's like the most fun thing about you
is that
I have no idea what's
game.
Ever going
to
happen. I can predict pretty much anybody, I think, in my life. I could pretty much predict what they're going to do. This man has the same routine every day. I can predict everything he does and how he reacts to everything. But with you, it's just like, I have no clue what you're going to say. No idea. And it's so fun that way.
Thanks.
It's a blast.
And every time I hear a story, I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, that sounds like Josh, because
who else
I just
would
could
that?
Never guess what Josh would do.
Exactly.
So go ahead.
Okay, so the story about the fake plant. So what happened one day, just one day. So we
you
were all just
once,
like,
you got to talk about it for 4 years.
Yeah.
I know. So we were just like sitting around in the office, and I was like going around watering the plants, and you know, I'm just thinking about these plants. I'm not actually just going to look and just like analyze the plant, making sure it's real or
Josh,
not, right?
Who the hell does? I don't do that.
Exactly.
I don't do that.
Exactly.
Weirdos go up and touch plants. Like, I respect the plant's privacy.
Excuse me. You know how I woke up Steve today?
No, so this chick wakes me up today, and she's like, oh, look, there's a new leaf and he's gonna make it.
You remember? Shook him when he was sleeping?
He woke basically. Up on his own.
No, so there's this leaf that appeared on the top of our plant the other day, but then Nikki was sad because it looked like it was dying.
It was drooping.
And then today she's like, oh, look, he's alive. He's gonna make it. And I'm like,
because I gave him some sunlight.
Nobody cares for you in the world.
I let him photosynthesize a little bit and I was very excited for that.
So Josh, this story, an innocent man goes up and doesn't touch plants before he waters them, and now you gotta go down for it.
Exactly. So then they're saying like, so I think the person, yeah, the person that was, that asked me, like Tommy, who was originally a part of the group, he said, hey, are you watering that plant? And I'm like, yeah, just because, you know, just
like, what the hell does it look like I'm doing, pal?
Yeah, exactly.
I ain't giving it a kiss.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. So he asked me, oh, did you water that plant? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, Josh, you know that plant's fake, right? And I think at that moment, I'm like, do I lie? Do I tell the truth?
Do you play it off as
deception.
A joke?
Yes. Yes. Deception game. It's a deception game.
Yeah, so then I'm like, no. I didn't know.
So you told the truth.
Yeah.
You never know what he's going to do.
Exactly.
You don't know.
And after that, it just became a long, long running joke.
Of course.
Yeah.
And you can understand the running joke. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But I completely understand your
angle.
It's
the birth of a meme.
Yeah, it's actually something. It's something that Steve would do.
Because
he doesn't check things. He's not very observant with like details of things.
Exactly.
The other day, I asked him to grab me a pair of socks. He's like, I did you one better. I grabbed you four socks. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
None of these match. They were all mismatching socks.
Well, I mean, who's going to look at the
four
socks?
Four different socks.
Josh, I just grabbed
completely
some
unmatching.
Let me tell you one something.
Who's going to look at the socks, though? I mean, no one's just going to like examine you or just
fuck
like...
Fuck me. I don't know. I guess...
I mean, is it going to be sock of the day?
Josh, tell me this.
I'm a weirdo.
So the other day, Nick, we haven't had curtains for months. I think 2 months.
Oh my God.
Wait, what?
We haven't had curtains in our bedroom for months.
So in our bedroom, the curtains fell down because I didn't, like the... I tried to secure them to a hole that was already there by the previous owner. It was kind of loose where the screws were, and it fell down.
And honestly, we kind of liked it anyway because those curtains were dirty.
Yeah, they were gross.
So we were like, we're going to get rid of these curtains, so whatever.
So we didn't have curtains for like a month.
A month. So the other day, I come home, I go upstairs, and Nikki's like, do you notice anything in the room? And I'm like, no. And then... she's like, look behind you. I turn around and there's brand new curtains on the wall. And I was like, holy shit.
He jumped back because they were so tall.
They're huge curtains. And I didn't
like
notice when I came in the room.
A giant monster behind
I don't notice things.
He does not notice things. It's like the cutest and most frustrating thing about you.
I notice
sometimes
people, but not environment.
I pay so much money for a haircut and I just want him to notice. So now he has to set his alarm that says, notice that Nikki got a haircut.
Yes.
Just so it feels like it was worth
it. She said she's getting a haircut. I set an alarm for 2 hours from now, and then I'm reminded that she got a haircut today.
Yeah, like a list of notifications telling you do this, do that, make sure that
just
if it helps me stay good with her, I do it.
It's very sweet.
Smart man.
So I say you're a good man who's going down for
thank
nothing.
Thank you.
Unbelievable.
Thank you. Thank
yes.
you.
I also think you're a good man, Josh.
Thank you.
So today's topic is should they don't tell you about feeling cyberbullied. But first, were you ever real life bullied? Because I feel like really good people, they probably got bullied when they were younger. All of us have gotten bullied and we have different feelings about it. But can you tell me a little bit about that?
I think my bullying was like really intense.
Really? Was it?
It was kind of intense, but...
Was it like physical?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got into a lot of fights. So,
oh my God.
So like middle school, well, me being like the only African American like in my school at the time, versus when I moved over here, I think it was like still a time where there was like a lot of like segregation. Well, not segregation, but then there was like a lot of like,
this is a black school, this is a white school, or whatever.
That was how it was on the East Coast, right?
Okay.
So I moved over here, and then like I see like nothing but like Mexicans and Asians. Again, two races that I have never actually been aware of. Yeah, I didn't know
that
they exist.
Which is ironic as hell considering now.
Exactly.
You're surrounded by
them. Exactly. So growing up in middle school and high school, a lot of like the, like not a lot, but just like the typical like high school bullies or middle school bullies, they just like kind of like poke at me. And I just never really decided to back down, so I got into a lot of fights. But what always happened was just like it kind of got to a point where a lot of people thought like, oh, like I was like purposely causing the fights, but it just didn't make sense to like not say anything or not really stand up for myself.
Yeah.
So that bullying kind of like went a little all throughout middle school and a little bit in high school, and then like kind of like finished off. But that was kind of like my most.
Wait, but you're huge. Like you're what, 6'2" or 6'1" or something?
Back then, well. I think like I had like a growth spurt somewhere 7th, 8th grade.
But it's still like awkward, man. I had the same thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You still, if you're tall and they can sense that you're not that confident, which is what happened to me.
Exactly.
They can't wait to pick on you because you're big. So you look tougher going after a bigger guy who's like not confident.
And like if you, like I think also like since like I was the minority, it was just like more of like a, hey, like let's pick on this person. And I think especially just because I'm like, you know, like, I like anime. I like drawing. It's like, that's there are a lot bad. Of like you're arts in a nerd that I culture. Liked. I was in the nerd culture. Like it was because like of
nerds.
That. Yeah.
Did you get into anime right because you because of where you grew up, or what got you into anime?
A lot of people, I think a lot of like people, yeah, like a lot of like people like my color liked anime. Like a lot of like my fellow classmates or just like my fellow friends liked anime at the time. It was like I never saw anime as just like kind of like an Asian thing. It was just like when art's like put out there, it's just all around for everyone. So
see, I only saw it as an Asian thing because when I was a kid, I only watched like Saturday morning cartoons and like Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know about anime until Asian kids at my school were all like, you know, weeping out about it.
Right, right.
Yeah. And then I realized that, oh, black people probably all also watch anime when I saw that video of that guy going Super Saiyan.
Oh,
and he takes off his shirt.
Yeah.
He's this like skinny black teenager kid. And he's like, I am a Super Saiyan. And he starts going like, like it's one of the funniest videos I ever watched, dude. When I used to do the Ray William Johnson show, we watched that, and I was laughing so hard I couldn't fucking breathe. Like I was crying laughing, and I was like, "Oh wow!" So a lot of more people watch the anime than I thought.
Yeah.
Well, what originally got me into anime was because growing up, I wasn't really into like the whole Sesame Street or anything. I just thought a lot of that stuff was lame. I never watched like Teletubbies. I never watched I guess like that one thing, Dragon Tales.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It was like some PBS thing, right? Yeah. So I was never into that. I was like more into like mystery, thriller stuff, just like stuff that like actually had a story with it.
Yeah.
So like a lot of the Looney Tunes I would watch, it slowly like dimmed and like my interest started fading.
No one has superpowers.
Yeah.
There was not a lot of mysteries. Yeah.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of mystery. There wasn't a lot of story. So that's again what got me into anime. There was story. There was like character development. There was like a lot of things that really drew me in versus just like the whole like, oh, we're gonna do one episode, finish, and that's it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And that was like the main reason that the art style. I thought the art style was like it was different.
Yeah.
What a lot of people weren't doing at the time, and the music. The music was really
that's
good. It was like a mix of. The anime that came out, especially on Toonami, was a lot of jazz, which is something that I really liked.
Wow. Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know what's super weird about me is I didn't like anime. I don't like anime. I think a lot of the reason is the art style. Like the big hair, the big eyes thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then, ironically, I love 80s hair bands. So
That's weird.
I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the things you make fun of are the things that 80s fans have. Yeah. All right, so you were into anime. Did you get bullied for that, or what?
I think it was like a little bit. I would get bullied for that. So a lot of times, like when I would draw in just like my little art book, I'd just come around and like they just like kind of like scribble all over.
Oh,
whatever.
Wow.
Whoa, they would scribble on your shit?
Yeah, they'd scribble on my shit. Like I'd have to like put it in like my backpack just to make sure that it wasn't.
That sucks.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Dude, I used to have X-Men's folder,
mm-hmm.
and that was back when like you're a nerd if you like comic books and shit. And I remember people being like. What a fucking nerd. You like the X-Mans. And then now, like, hello, like Avengers, the biggest movie on Earth and shit.
Yeah. Like, no, nerd culture became pop culture.
Oh, yeah.
It became, like, mainstream.
It's always the things that you get made of, that people make fun of you when you're a kid that slowly become mainstream.
It's
like,
so
as you become
true. I always listen to punk rock music, and I would wear, like, all the bracelets and stuff. But now you think that, and you're like, oh, I know what kind of girl you were. But back then, this was, like, 99, 2000, you know,
nobody
was wearing that. And like, we would get made, me and my best friend would wear it, and we would get made fun of. We were like huge dicky pants and army, like camo stuff. And, you know, just all the like punk rock type of culture. And we would go to shows and we would mosh and stuff and wear steel toe boots. And then the next year, Avril Lavigne came out the very next year. And she was wearing all the like, punk rock stuff that we were wearing.
Checker ties.
Yeah, like, yeah. And like the same like baggy camo pants with the tank top shirts. And so the next school year, all of the cheerleaders, everyone that was making fun of us, all of them started dressing like that. And I was pissed. We started dressing preppy just like out of rebellion.
Brutal.
Because I'm like, if
they're just taking... like a cheerleader?
Yeah, yeah. That's what we did. Because we're like, if they're going to take our style, then we're just going to fuck with them and take their style.
I love it. It's just insecure people needing identity.
Yes, exactly. I love it. It's like, that was our identity.
Question, did you go to the Warped Tour?
I did every year, yeah.
Oh my God.
My aunt actually... I went to high school with a lot of...
You did?
Excuse me.
I hated it.
My aunt went to high school with a lot of the people, and so she'd always have backstage passes.
That's tight. See, so, I didn't have
yeah. And then one year, D12 was supposed to perform, and I was getting so fucking hyped. I was like, I'm about to meet Eminem. I was like, just fangirling the hardest anyone's ever fangirled, and I was like getting nervous. I was like prepping my speech. Like,
Eminem
what do
was
I
basically
say?
The manager
like,
of D12.
If he shows up, what do I say? Like, what if he walks past me? I gotta keep my cool. I would like kind of practice, like, okay, pretend it's happening right now.
Try not shitting your pants.
You're hyperventilating and crying at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, okay, it's not working. I gotta new plan. And I was getting so fucking hyped for it. And then he canceled the West Coast tour, and I was like,
genius, masterstroke.
I don't think we're meant to meet. But Em, if you're watching this.
Shut the fuck up. I hate it. Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. So for me, I got bullied because I was pigeon-toed through elementary school. It's when your feet point inwards and it just makes the rest of your body walk really awkward.
You walk like Tommy Pickles.
Don't a lot of girls do that?
They do now. It's popular in the magazine.
I mean, I'll just like look and like I'll see like a girl's like toes pointing in, but I never knew there was like a name like pigeon. I never knew that was a thing until...
I find it hot.
Yeah. Well, you know, it
makes the ass bounce a certain way.
It seems more feminine, right? Yeah.
It makes your ass bounce a certain way, I guess.
That's a scientific term.
A lot of guys thought that I was trying to walk like that for attention. A lot of girls just thought I walked funny for no reason.
Guys always think whatever girls are doing is for attention. Yeah. Don't you love that?
Yeah.
No matter what you do.
And I'm so fucking stupid. I didn't even know I was walking funny. Like, I just thought I was like, you know, I'm just oblivious to whatever I look like. Hmm. And then my mom put me in ballet classes to try to correct it. Because everyone was making fun
that's
of me.
That's kind
of
sad.
So hard. It was really sad. But I, even in the ballet class, I didn't know that my feet didn't look like the other people's feet. Whoa. So I just had no physical self-awareness at all. And so that continued throughout all of elementary school. And the popular girl just wouldn't let anybody be my friend. She was like, they'd make fun of me. And then if anyone tried to be my friend, she would like ice them out. And so no one wanted to like try to be my friend. Yeah, but... Again, like at the time, I was like, okay, well, that sucks because I want to hang out with people. But I kind of like built my own little world of like, you know, I had my like stuffed animals and I would give them accents and I would like do whole like plays with them and
what a fucking
all
loser.
Kinds of shit like that.
I
know.
Wish that the popular
know
girl
was
here right now and she's like, do you hear yourself? That's why we didn't want to hang out with you.
That's about because I
so, yeah, you don't want to hang out with you. You're talking to your fucking stuffed animals and shit. Nobody wants
like, this is why. This is why a lot of things turned out the way it did.
Right.
Yeah. I would leave messages because back then we had message machines. We didn't have voicemail. It was like an answering machine. We had an answering machine and you could call the downstairs answering machine from the upstairs phone. It was the same phone line, but like you could call and leave a message. So I would call as a bunch of different people and like have different accents and then I would play them for my mom when she got home and tell her all the people that I called.
If you want to take this out, I understand. If you want to take this out of this episode, I understand and we should consider that.
I'm just saying that's like part of my life story. And, you know, now I know that it's these things that make me unique.
No, they don't.
It's these things that make me special.
You're not special.
And now I know that it's okay to be me.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the depression didn't kick in until like middle school. I mean, it was throughout elementary school, I guess, if I really like go back and remember. I didn't call it the depression back then, but like middle school, high school, like definitely was, I was just like, oh my God, I have no friends. Everyone else has like a normal life where they like go hang out with each other and I had no friends. And that's when I made friends with my girl that we dressed punk rock and go to shows together, and then she got addicted to methamphetamine. So,
did you have no friends? Yet.
Yes, I did.
Well, that's
he had his anime friends.
Oh, I see. So you're a part of.
Well,
a
they weren't. My friends didn't even like anime.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They thought it was like really weird.
Oh, so who were your friends?
Well, it was weird. Like we didn't like anything. I mean, we had interests, but then I guess like we just liked hanging out a lot of times, even though like we all had like different interests. Like one was like a really big gamer. The other was like really into sports.
What would you do together?
Huh?
What was the commonality that got you guys together?
We played basketball. played sports, just hung out. We would go to Chinatown, just hang out there, get food. Just travel adventure. Like that was pretty much a thing.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sounds like you were really cool, Josh.
Yeah, that's you sound cooler than you, I think you think.
Yeah, no, you sound really cool.
No. I think we're just like
bang chicks, get pussy. Like yeah, nerd shit. You know, we do a lot of nerdy stuff. Shit. Yeah. I'm like, wow, this is pretty good.
Yeah. But then that's just like how we connected over the years. Even though like we didn't have the same interests, we just hung out, and that just kind of became the thing. And I think I liked that a lot more because I didn't need to fake being who I was. It was just like we're just all natural.
Yeah. Oh, and so you accepted yourself early.
Yeah, I accepted. I think a lot of because of the bullying. It was like a mix of the bullying and just knowing who I was and just knowing how those people were probably going to turn out.
Yeah.
I think it kind of made me accept like a lot of things.
So the bullying happened like elementary school and junior high?
Well, middle school.
Middle school. Okay.
Yeah.
And then in high school is when like you kind of found your crew and you're like, hey, fuck those haters.
I found my crew in middle school.
Oh, okay. And then during the bullying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then in high school, we just kind of hung out and then that just kind of became the thing. The bullying kind of stopped. The bullying kind of stopped like first year of freshman, sophomore year, but then that's just because the bullies, they dropped out, I think.
They all
dropped out. Or they were just like known as the group that didn't really do anything. They hung out with each other.
They're probably all on drugs and too high.
That does sound pretty cool. They hung out with each other and drank. That's pretty
They just like hung out, drank. We just constantly joke, not really do anything with their lives. It was just kind of like their thing.
They go steal Mike's Hard Lemonade from the 7-Eleven?
Oh, yeah.
Steve thinks that people should get bullied. Do you want to talk about that, Steve?
I do. So, hi. What's up? My name is Steve.
Hi.
I think that it was very formative for me to be bullied. Yeah. I'm very thankful that I was bullied because it made me a better person in the end.
But not like physically bullied into submission or anything.
I'm talking about just like all these like initiatives where it's like we're going to ban bullying at schools or whatever the fuck that means. I don't think any of that does anything. I think that having kids going through this stuff, when you come out the other end, it has made you a better person. I think I'm a better person because I went through that shit.
So do you think they should like kind of instead coach kids how to come out the other end? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Sort
of
like
course.
What we're doing
instead
now?
Instead of like throwing money at it where they're like, we're putting an initiative together. Or even all the shit on Twitter, it's like, are you sure you want to post this? It's like shitheads are going to be like, yes, I want to post this. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that? Where it's like if you post something on Instagram, they're like, hey, this seems like it could be mean. Are you sure you want to post this?
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's a new thing they're doing, like anti-bullying campaign.
I haven't gotten that far in the update just yet.
That's crazy.
So that's what I'm saying. We're like, if you're a shithead, of course you want to post this.
Right.
You can't wait to post it.
Yeah.
Like having this little thing of like, hey, are you sure about this?
It's like a little hall
does
monitor.
Nothing. It's
like,
a stupid.
Hey, excuse me, you're not supposed to run in the hallway.
It's like that Microsoft document thing where that guy just like that little
paperclip thing.
None of that.
Exactly. None of that shit is effective. That's all I mean by that. I don't think that we should teach kids to bully better.
Right. Yeah.
Just giving them bullying lessons the whole time.
They should have an elective that's bullying.
No. It's merely that I don't think that a lot of the things that are being done about bullying are actually helpful.
Right.
And I think that coaching kids about how to get through it is helpful.
I think we're in a different time now versus like when we were growing up. So now, because a lot of people are just like more accustomed to, you know, like likes, Instagram stuff, I would say like a lot more sensitive versus just like when we were growing up, like we didn't really have any of that. So, you know, like someone says this, someone says that, and they have like more incentive just because then they have more emotion connected to it. So I agree, but then I also disagree too. I feel like they're doing the best that they can given the situation that they're put in.
Yeah, they have more like platforms to get bullied on than we did. So, and also, for us, it was like, for me, it was like that one girl or like, you know, a person in junior high. Like, that's like one person at a time. Or like maybe they have a little group together and they bully me, but like it's like maximum 5 people at a time.
Yeah.
But on social media, it's like everyone's anonymous or like people feel more apt to, they're more aggressive because.
Right,
they're behind a screen. But, so
yeah, and a lot
and
of
it's
that,
like a bunch
so,
all at once.
So that's a separate issue, right? It's like that's cyberbullying. Like all the bullying that we encountered was all physical bullying,
right?
Or like real, like personal
in
bullying,
live action bullying.
Yes, thank you. There's not much you can do about that, right? Like you've got a big brother who's bullying you, you got a cousin who's bullying you, you have somebody at school, that one girl, whatever.
Yeah,
I think a lot of that you can help kids by teaching them how to deal with those things.
Right. Mm. Bully management.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
How would you say bullying helped you grow as a person?
I was constantly bullied throughout all middle school, and it was one of those things where I was on a basketball team. I wasn't very good, but I was tall, and so I made the team because I'm so tall. I was like the tallest kid in my whole school, I think. Mm-hmm. And then I couldn't do shit on the team, and everyone was pissed that I got on the team, this other guy didn't. Mm-hmm. And so this other guy made it a point to every day wherever I went, he's following me, calling me all kinds of names and shit.
Damn.
They would shove me against things and do all the bully shit. And then during my own team's basketball games, they wouldn't let me sit with them. I had to go sit on another side of the bench. Yeah. So like the whole team's sitting in one place and then I'm sitting in another place. And if I came near them, they're like, get away, faggot, and all that stuff. So I never felt like I was part of the team, even though I earned my spot on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I felt, because I worked my ass off to do it. I used to have my mom take me after my own basketball practice. She would take me to a park and I would shoot hoops until it got dark, and then when the lights came on I would still shoot hoops until my mom was like, okay, it's time to go.
I'm imagining a whole montage right
now. Yeah. Like a Rocky montage.
Imagine a Rocky montage, but then Rocky still sucks and gets his ass beat. That's what my experience was.
Yeah,
because I didn't really get that much better. I mean, I did get most improved at the end of the year, which meant a lot to me. I actually cried when I got it because
I
worked so hard. But then I realized later in life that most improved just means the kid who sucks the hardest.
That's not true, because you're the most improved husband.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Aww. Like he, as from boyfriend to husband level, like you're like up a thousand notches.
Well, thank you. I try very hard. So when I came out the other end of that, Josh, mm-hmm. to answer your question, I felt so good that I could hold my head up high after coming out of middle school. And I was like, wow, I learned so much about myself having gone through that, and that I'm still here. Because mm-hmm. I did the whole thing, you know, the suicidal thoughts and all those things.
Oh, yeah.
And coming out of that, you just feel so tall.
Right.
You know,
well,
actually
you're 6 foot four.
Well, but actually tall. And not like tall. And I'm a big enough target that they can pick on me and it works because
mentally
I didn't
tall.
Push back. Right.
Yeah.
And then eventually I did push back, because I was getting really poor advice from my beautiful mother, who I love. She told me, have a stiff upper lip, always turn your cheek.
Nope.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
No.
So I tried all that and none of that worked. And then one day when they shoved me, I shoved back. And I pushed a guy up against the wall, and I was like, don't ever fucking do this shit again. And he never did.
I wish I could have done that. See, the thing with me was, it got to a point where, well, again, I was like the only minority in my school, but it got to a point where I was getting in these fights a lot. But then the thing is, because like my mom was a good teacher, she'd always be coming down like from like Compton or whatever. And that's like a good like hour and a half. And this would like be like in the middle of school.
Yeah.
And say, oh, you need to come pick up your kid. You need to do this. You need to do that. And even when she didn't come, I just kept on getting into more and more fights. And there was like such like a, oh, like this guy's like always like the problem, or this person's like always a problem, or you have anger management issues. So it got to a point where I couldn't really like lash out like I did before. I had to like keep a lot of stuff internalized.
Just or else you were a problem child.
Yeah.
Even though you were retaliating.
Yeah, even though I was retaliating, like a lot of the adults would think like, oh, this person is just like a problem child. But in reality, it's just, no, it's just, you know, like one, I'm the only minority. Like, what can I do? Like, do I just like let these people run over me, let them walk over me? And then that's kind of like how it really fizzled out the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you do?
So I think after the fourth or fifth time I was like in the principal's office, it got to a point where I just would not just like, I just kind of like let it all go. And I think the one time it really bit me in the butt, when I tried not to say anything, we actually got into a fight outside of school. But the fight was so bad to the point where like, I think like a lot of like the business owners were like calling the cops. And I was like, holy shit. And then I saw like, okay, I can't really get into fights. Well, again, being the minority, it's just like, it got even like more escalated. So I was like, dude.
Right, you're like, I don't want to see my future in a jail cell or
something. Yeah, I don't
want to
see my future in a jail cell, or I want to see the possibility of it going that further. So then I'm like, you know what, let's just keep our distance, and that's just basically it.
So he's a man of peace.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Like, what did you take away from all that? You just, how's it affected your life now?
Well, I guess like it's kind of made me not immediately just like jump to conclusions.
Yeah,
it's like it made me to the point where like, let's say for instance, like if me and you got into an argument, like I would be mad, But then I also think like, okay, what else in my life has like made me or has added onto this anger before I start lashing it all onto you?
Oh, got you. So you're very aware of like triggers, like personal, like psychology, like maybe it's not just the situation here, it's something from my past that's like getting brought up again.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
Which I think like a lot of people should do.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
That's emotional intelligence super... thing that a lot of people don't discover till later on.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's why this is shit they don't tell you.
That's what's up.
They don't tell you that. For me, I feel like I used to be so lonely, and then I got really comfortable being alone to the point where like I actually really enjoyed being alone. And then I found out that I actually recharge by being alone. So it wasn't, now when I'm like alone or feel like lonely or like that, no, sometimes I think that like nobody likes me and like they're all just like not gonna be my friends pretty soon. I just go into like that shell of like where I'm comfortable being alone, and I just recharge and let it go.
And you're an extrovert, right?
It's weird. I'm like borderline introvert extrovert. Same. But I think they consider whatever you use to recharge is that's what your like true inner being is. Mm-hmm. And so I do recharge by being alone, like whereas he recharges by socializing. So I think I'm naturally more of an introvert and he's naturally more of an extrovert, but we can both like crisscross. Like once I'm recharged, I can totally socialize and like be totally cool.
Right.
Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I'm an extrovert. Okay. Very extrovert.
Okay.
But I mean, growing up, I think I was a little bit of both. But as like I got older, I got more extroverted.
Yeah.
Just because then I think so. Growing up, I was like, again, I was different from like a lot of like my friends.
Yeah.
I felt like a lot of my friends were very what's that word?
Asian, Mexican.
Asian, yes. Asian, Mexican. But then a lot of them were very cultured. No, not cultured. Conservative, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of them are very conservative, so then a lot of them like wouldn't really like express like a lot of things. However, they weren't really expressive. But then that just got to me where it got to the point where one, I'm a lot of I feel like what everyone else is, I usually like what everyone else isn't, I usually am. So then it got made me more expressive, made me more extroverted, made me really get out of my shell just to like say, hey, how are you doing? Hey, do this, and just like really just chill out and relax and just talk to everyone. Yeah.
So you became like the connector of your group.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's really cool. Okay. Well, when we get back, we're going to talk more about cyberbullying as opposed to our backgrounds of like, I don't know, live action bullying.
We're going to talk about some specific cyberbullying.
We're going to talk about specific.
Pertaining to perhaps the JK Party Channel. We'll be
perhaps.
Right back.
Ooh, perhaps.
Join us after this break.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing, to the weird, to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
Hey, are you listening to Should They Don't Tell You? Because if not, how are you listening to this ad about Should They Don't Tell
it's
You?
Because they can't turn it off. They don't know how to turn it off.
Well, that's pretty convenient for
us.
They're
throwing their phone on the ground right now.
Once you can figure it out, could you please rate us and subscribe and tell us that we're beautiful?
Listen,
we want it.
We need the validation. But mostly we need the ratings because, I mean, that's basically how the world is run.
That's how we continue to make more and more and more of this content, this glorious content that you love so much.
If you like the show, support the show. And if you don't like the show, support the show.
And it's for free. The stars are for free.
Yeah, you give them away for free. It's not like if you give 5 stars, you pay more money. They should have charged for every single star. I would have made so much money. I just made a killing.
And we're back. Getting into specifics about feeling cyberbullied. I'm not going to say being cyberbullied because I don't know. I think that's up in the air. But definitely feeling cyberbullied. So we wanted to talk about JK Party and have Josh on here because that's where we all met. And I feel like that's where the topic really relates. So the comments, as we talked about earlier a little bit on JK Party, they could be pretty brutal. And I don't really know the age demographic on JK Party. I feel like it's anywhere from middle school to mid-20s, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't really know. We don't see faces. But it gets really pretty brutal because people get really involved with watching us play games. And it's board games, party games. And it's honestly nothing I've ever been part of in my life before.
There's tribes, right? It's when you're a kid and you're playing a Ninja Turtle game and you're I'm Raphael, I play Raphael, and somebody's I play Donatello. I think a lot of people are Josh is my character because I see myself in Josh. So I want to root for Josh, or if Josh does something game wise, I'm why did you do that to me, Josh? You're me in this game. I think there's a lot of that going on. So I think people just take it very personally.
Yeah, no, so I didn't realize that until I became a regular on JK Party, because I feel like when I was a guest, I mean, the OG players, the people that started the channel, they were hyper competitive in an exaggerating way.
Which is us.
And that's how I play too, where it's just, to me, it's just all silly. So the fun part is pretending oh my God, we have to win, and taking it to a exaggerated, serious, hyper competitive level.
For me, the fun part is killing Tiff and Mafia first round. I find that very fun.
Yeah. She finds it fun too.
She finds it very fun.
That's what
I've heard.
Yeah. Very, very fun.
But all my family plays board games and they're really hyper competitive too.
I know, because your father, when you were 3 years old, he's busting your balls about Scrabble. He was raised in a hyper competitive environment.
We used to have game night every weekend, but throughout the whole weekend. And we would play chess, we would play Scrabble, we'd play Monopoly, we played all kinds of games. But Scrabble was our shit and it was really great. And he, legit, I was 7 years old. A grown ass man is playing Scrabble with me. And I hit the triple word score by using the word prom, like you see in the movies. I'm going to prom, That's a word.
A word.
My dad goes, "You sure you want to play that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's a triple word score. I'm so smart.
I'm 7.
Yay. I'm getting so many points. Yay." And then he waits for my turn to be over and he's like, "I challenge it." And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "I challenge it. That's not a word." I'm like, "Yeah, it is. People ask each other to prom all the time. I hear the older kids ask each other." And then he's like, "Well, let's look it up in the dictionary." And so he goes to the dictionary, and prom is not a word, but you know what it is?
What?
Promenade. Because prom is an abbreviation for promenade. It's not... Prom is not a word. Promenade's the word. And I'm fucking 7. I should have known that. So I don't get any of the points. And you get minus 50 points if you lose a challenge.
Oh.
And yeah. And so, and my dad is gloating about it. And I'm just crying. I had no fucking clue what the fuck a promenade was. And I'll never forget now.
I know that.
But then I wanted to quit because I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Because it's not fair that he has like hidden knowledge I don't have.
Because you're 7.
Yeah, because I'm 7.
But he was like, you can't leave.
Yeah, he's like, you can't quit because like we don't quit. And so I had to stay there crying with like bawling my eyes out trying to finish a game of fucking Scrabble that he ultimately won because duh, I had minus 50 points. But anyway, that's the level of competitive my family plays it. And that's like, my dad's fucking serious.
Yes.
And like for me, I think that shit talking and like joking with friends level is not serious because it's never gonna be my dad. Like if anyone's feelings actually got hurt and someone was actually crying, I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't mean that. But I feel like people that are watching, or a lot of them, seem to take it seriously. And it's resulted in just like for me, for my character,
yes,
that people that don't, that didn't choose my character to be.
That's correct. Right. Quite a few of them,
they,
I think.
Character see selection. It as me being like a bad guy or like a mean girl or whatever, mm-hmm. and they think that I'm actually shit talking whoever I'm shit talking, which is everyone, by the way.
Yes.
Right.
But especially Josh, because he's so like innocent, and so I feel like a lot of people connect to Josh's character, and they just feel like they're being picked on.
Yes.
Right. But like for me, and I don't know if it's the same for you, but I feel like we have such a good banter.
Yeah.
And that's like the fun part of it for me. And so I'm like totally oblivious. I'm like, we're having fun. Like before the game, we're shit talking. We're like, you're going down, you know? Yeah. And like sometimes we're on the same team and we're hyping each other up. We're like, we're fucking going to win this. And then the video comes out and people are like, wow, Nikki's like so mean to Josh. And I'm like, when? That's crazy. Like I never saw it that way. Like I'll roast anybody, but
yes,
you know,
whatever. I get roasted quite a bit by you actually.
Yeah. But I think have you ever felt bullied in real life on JK Party?
No, I don't believe so. At least I can't recall. And I think this just because when we play games.
Yeah.
Like I won't remember. Like I it's just totally yeah, gone. Like by the next week I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, where are we ready to play now?
Yeah.
And Josh is blowing like these water bottles on the table, by the way.
Just keep on pushing
them
down.
Them over. Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. It's like we're all in the moment. We're all like, hurrah. And then
But in the game, when people who just clicked on this video and they watch us and then they see like I get killed in Mafia and I'm like, fuck, or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. They're like, man, he's really pissed.
Well, yeah. Right.
But it's like, it's a game.
For them, too, it's also like the only game that they see, for the only Mafia they'll see for like 3 weeks or something.
Right.
We're in it. Not for us fault. It was like we just played 7 games of Mafia in a row.
Right.
Like
right.
I did not take it that seriously.
Right.
Have you ever felt that people that don't pick your character pick on you in the comments?
Wait.
Like have people bullied you in the comments?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like I've experienced that for like the last, I think like 2 years, 3 years.
This
is like I'll look, where I'll just like even get like mean or send some comments like saying, dude, you're fucking retarded, you're so stupid, like whatever. Ugh. And I'm just like, yo, fuck.
Yeah.
like I mean, yeah.
Sometimes it gets to you. Like sometimes, so when I first
it can get to you.
When I first see comments, I'm like, fuck you. You know, mm-hmm. It's like I don't know you. I don't need you bringing my life down or whatever, trying to get to me. But then like if there's like enough of them and they all start infiltrating, then you start like questioning, like for you, it's like, am I dumb? Am I like stupid? Do I belong here?
Because it's like social media, it's just like, it's just like they kind of like apply it to like your whole image and just becomes
becomes who you are as a person.
Yeah, even though that's not really who you are, it's just that's how they view you. And
yes,
it's just like you have to take, and I feel like now like you have to take like a little bit more control over like who you are, versus like you could just like relax, you could just like post like a funny thing, but you have to, there's just like constantly on you, it's just like it's not healthy.
No,
so you kind of see, like, again, it's like the toxic environment. It's kind of going back to like what you were saying about bullying. Like, yeah, that helps. But because we're in a different environment
arena,
it's just, it's completely new territory.
Yeah. And it's so interesting to me because, like, yeah, how they take whatever they saw you play in a game, which is like, I just feel like a game is so heightened. The games themselves are about deception. They're about lying, cheating, stealing, trying to like sabotage your friends, like things that you would never do in real life.
Right.
So if you have to do that to win the game,
it's strategy.
It's just all strategy and like hyping it up and like being like, oh, I have to be shitty in this game, so I'm just gonna, I'll be a shitty character.
But this
you know?
Is how, you know, yeah. like we, me and Nikki have watched seasons of Survivor, and there's this guy who's very hated on the show called Russell.
I think I know who you're talking about. I've never watched Survivor, but I think I've seen clips on YouTube.
So he is by far our favorite character.
Oh, yeah.
Because this guy's a fucking savage, dude. He will melt anybody's face off. He'll be like, hey, you and me, we have an alliance, okay? And they're like, sure. And then he fucking kills them the next night. Like, this guy is brutal. But then he somehow makes it to the end every time, and then he fucking loses because he loses the tribe vote.
Yeah, because everyone hates him so much. Everyone hates him because
he betrayed all of them.
Yeah.
And then he's always like, man, I'm the best survivor though. Fuck. Like, it's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
But then he gets real world hate for it. People like in public, they're like, fuck you, Russell.
Oh my
shit like
God.
That.
I've actually gotten something like that before.
Have you really?
Yeah.
For JK Party shit?
Yeah, yeah. So it was like, I think like me and Ryan or someone, like I was at in T-Brick and like there's like this like group of guys, right? And they were saying like, they were saying like some like really like deep shit, and they thought like I didn't hear. But then the thing is, like, I want to approach, but then I'm also like, it's not that like I'm not afraid to like get into a fight, but I'm also like,
you're a man of peace now. You're a man of peace.
Yeah.
One, it's not only that I'm a man of peace, like, again, I have like this whole
backstory.
Like, backstory. Like, I'm like a social media, like, I don't want to say influencer because it sounds so
you
like, pretentious. But yeah, yeah, but
no, we all agree.
Yeah, we all hate that word, and it's also
exactly.
what we are. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm like an influencer, so then, you know, I'd hate to hear like, oh, black influencer gets into like a fight with like a bunch of like high school kids, like, or whatever. So this is like, again, like, I'm like thinking like that's not something. I can see the headlines. I'm like, dude, like, it's a lose-lose for me. Like, yeah, I get into a fight. Yeah, I beat you up or two of your, three of your friends.
So what were they saying? Like, oh, that guy's dumb in JK Party or something?
They're just saying that. They're just saying, like, stuff, like, involving me and Gio and, like, whatever. And it's like,
you guys fucking on, you're fucking on Gio?
No, they're just saying, like, oh, I was fucking on Gio. Just like a lot
dude,
of
I get shit for fucking on Gio.
Yeah, and I'm like,
there's some Instagram account out there that photoshops me and Gio fucking. And
what?
And they send it out. Yeah. I've
wait,
seen
they
it.
Send it to you?
Tiff showed it to me.
Oh, my God. Like, a deep fake with you guys?
Yeah.
If it's fake.
You know,
I'm just kidding.
I've heard about that program, and yeah. I feel like it's an interesting program, but it's used for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, it's real weird.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it could be way funnier.
Yeah, like you could like put like Nicolas Cage's face on like
thank
Indiana Jones.
On everything.
I'd just like fucking watch that. That'd be fucking hilarious.
Oh, dude, there's some really funny ones out there. Like,
dude, put Nicolas Cage's face on the big rolling ball that's running after Nicolas Cage. Or that's running after Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Or so the big rolling ball is a big Nicolas Cage head.
Or put that on like everyone on like JK News and just like have Nicolas Cage like on JK News.
That free would, ideas out there for all of you deep fakers. Go nuts.
Just do Nicolas Cage bits, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's probably going to be like the future though in a couple of years.
Just a lot of Nicolas Cage deepfakes.
No, I think he's right. I think he's
not
right.
Nicolas Cage deepfakes.
I could see that future.
I think like it's going to get to a point where like there are like a lot of actors, mm-hmm. but a lot of people want like the older actors because then like a lot of people like want that nostalgia effect. So they start hiring these people that don't necessarily look like them, but then they use the bodies as and then they put deepfakes, and that way they could actually act out the role.
Right? Can you imagine a movie in 2024 starring Marilyn Monroe? Like
probably.
That's
yeah.
what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean. They have like this whole Adobe voice thing that's coming out where it could actually mimic your voice and it takes like sound bites.
Yeah, so Shane Dawson did this whole like conspiracy theory video about it. It was pretty nuts. The deepfake stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. So just getting a lot of comments from people thinking that whatever we're playing board games like is who we are in real life is been really interesting to me because I feel like I just came from the comedy world where nothing was taken seriously. Mm-hmm. It's all just like, that's just, you're doing it for bits, right? And then you go to JK Party and it's like, everything is a joke, but everyone's taking it completely seriously to the point where it leaks onto Instagram and like, right. they're like, oh, you're a bad guy or like you're a meanie or whatever. And
do you feel like comedy is kind of dying in that sense?
A little bit, yeah. A lot of my favorite comedians aren't making jokes anymore. Yeah. They're like just super political on Twitter. And, I think they're like, there's a lot more sensitivity. I know a lot of college campuses, old comedians like Jerry Seinfeld was talking about how he tried to do colleges and he can't do them anymore.
And Chris Rock said that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Chris Rock. Because they're too sensitive.
And for those of you listening, about like how all of this spills over into your personal social medias and makes you question things, or does it? Like how do you deal with that? Like with somebody sees you on JK Party, making a move that a lot of people think is stupid, or a lot of people think was mean, or a lot of people think was like you didn't have to do that. That was really just cruel. Like how do you how do you like reset at the end of the day and go, well, that's not me. Like they're, yeah. That's a reaction.
Does it affect your life, and how do you let it not affect your life? Okay.
I think I've kind of like, I guess I've kind of just like accepted it. I've kind of like made it to a point where, well, one, they're kids. Yeah. Two, it's just going to be like a lot of the like bullies I dealt with before. Like if they're constantly taking their time just like bash me, I'm wondering, oh, like what's happening in their life? Like they're sad to say, like something may be wrong. Like they may be dealing with like abuse or whatever. So it's just like, if they spend all that time or all that, if they spend all like their like mental space and physical space just like in a toxic environment, it's just like they're not gonna, you're not gonna get anywhere. It's just, it's gonna add up eventually. So I just let it be that, and then
that's such a great way of thinking about it, like empathizing with the people that are bullying you online, because it's true. Like if they're spending that much of their time writing mean comments or whatever on people's pages that they don't like, or they don't like how they played a game or whatever, then yeah, there must be like something going on in their lives.
And it's like, it's also, I think it's also a bit of opportunity. Like one, I have the opportunity, I'm in like JK Party, and yes, I get connected, I play games, like I have all these opportunities just around me, and it's just like a positive environment. So it's like there's like a lot more room to grow versus them, they don't have that many opportunities. So it's just like, it's like a clash of like, okay, here's my world and here's their world. I'm like, in the world, sorry, of opportunity.
Hun, I'm over here and you're down there. Hun.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. For me, I've been blocking people, and I never used to block people because I used to be like, well, I'm on a public platform and they should be allowed to say whatever they want because it's the freedom of opinion, freedom of speech, and like I'll just let whoever have an opinion. But then mob mentality starts happening, where like a couple people start agreeing with comments, and then people that weren't even thinking that will start jumping on the train. And I noticed that happening a lot
and they start
lately.
Liking it,
yeah, and they get on like a like train, and it's like, oh, everybody thinks this and it must be true, and it's really weird that way. And then it just becomes this toxic thing that's on my profile or on my page or on, you know, in my world. And so I just started blocking people.
Yeah. It goes back to the internet of just like, one, you're sitting at a computer, you're writing negative stuff, so you may not have that many friends. So what are you going to do? You're going to like some like comment that someone agrees with. That way you possibly have, you have that chance of making a connection with someone, a toxic connection with someone.
Yeah, true.
Even though you never actually meet them, you're just like, you know what? I connect with that. So it's just,
any attention is good attention.
Exactly.
And by the way, like I'm totally open to people that have constructive criticism. Like if someone leaves feedback on something, like, hey, in this video I really felt like blah blah blah, maybe you could try doing this instead. I don't block those people.
It's very rare.
Usually people are just angry, all caps, like, fuck you, I hate you, I hope you die. And I'm like, oh my god,
dude, when I read shit like that, I gotta say, like, it's tough because I if I read something like that about you, I get very angry. But if I read something like Steve Green is such an asshole, I laugh out loud. I can't help it. I just find all of it so funny because I don't really take it personal, because I think I came out the other end in middle school and stuff like that, and doing live comedy, people shit on you in person. I think reading angry things on the internet just tickles me.
I think it's because it's so skewed. So like growing up getting bullied for being like a loser, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm nerdy, or like I'm wearing the wrong things, or I'm walking funny, and I'm, you know, you can't sit with us type of thing. I've never been called out for being like a mean girl or like being the bully. Mm-hmm. So for me to see like a huge swath of comments that think of me like that, which I guess if that's your first impression of me, I guess the reason I feel comfortable shit talking in games is because I know I'm not that person. So that's why it's fun. But if that's your first impression and you just think, oh, this is how this person is all the time, and you know, cocky assholes are assholes and they should be shut down, then I guess they feel justified in doing that. But for me, it's so a 180 from who I am, and like so bizarre that I just don't even know how to process it. So I just delete it.
Well, yeah.
Because like your persona is being an asshole.
Of course.
Yeah. So like if people are like, Steve Green's an asshole, you're like, well, that was my persona.
Well, right. And well, it's also like, I don't care if they know me or not. Like, for example, like on JK News and on this show and everywhere, I do all that shit for fun. Like, I'm like, haha, you get that pussy, son. And like, all that shit is funny to me because those people are such douchebags. So I just do that. Yeah. And then when people write like, what's Steve gonna be talking about pussy for? Like, what a misogynist and all this shit. I laugh at it because that's so not me. It's funny.
Right? Yeah. Right.
So my own identity is never out there to be attacked.
Right.
It's always this guy that I'm having fun being.
You're playing a character always.
Yeah, for sure. So, like I'm always doing a bit. Right?
Okay, so I think that's what happened was like, so back on in the day on my channel and when I started on YouTube and Totally Sketch, it was all comedy, 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 comedy. So everything was a bit. And if someone attacked it, I didn't feel personally attacked because it was a bit the whole time. So if they didn't think something was funny, whatever. If they were attacking a character that I was satirizing, then I didn't care because it wasn't my character and it was clearly like a bit. But because since it switched over to personality content where I've opened up, I've gotten vulnerable, I've like shown more of like my true person. It's like when I'm on JK Party and playing myself, I've already shown so much realness about me that when they attack me, it feels like a personal attack because I'm not playing a character, like a written character. I'm just hyping up like an exaggerated part of my competitive self. You
that
know, it's
sense.
Not... It's not like it's a character.
But then you're also a personality, so then it...
Yeah, so it bleeds through. And that was just my first time experiencing like that sort of like something that's so untrue, like bleeding. When I wasn't trying to like... I mean, I'm playing like a shit-talking, cocky person because like... But that's just... It's not like a fake person. It's not like a scripted character. It's like something that's like, oh, we're all friends. Like we're gonna shit talk, and it's not real.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
Because I was on JK News with like this guy Motoki. He's been on our show.
Yeah.
And I had a runner with him that whole day where you know we do like 14 articles with the guests sometimes, and I had a runner with him the whole time about how like smashing pussy was so sick and like how how those big metal cock and balls like put it on the back of a truck is so tight and all that, you know, we're just doing that runner all day, so I had constantly people reaching out to me being like, you're such a fucking douche. And like, you know, I was talking about how like those fucking trucker hats are so tight and sick and
because it's so like extreme for you that you're
it's just nuts land to me. But then some people who don't know me yet or whatever, they don't know I'm doing a bit yet, they attack that guy and I can't help but agree with them. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, good for you. Like, I love it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes it easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like personally attacked or are you able to separate it?
I feel a little bit attacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because, again, it's like a personality.
Your personality, right.
Yeah, yeah.
By the kids or by the fellow cast members or both?
I guess the kids. Yeah. Just because in one, like, they're... I view them kind of like as like my audience, but then I view them as my supporters. So when it gets to a point where like, oh, your own supporters, the people that you think that would like have your back, are like constantly bashing you, it's just like it leaves you this uncertainty of like, oh,
you can't.
Where do we go from here? Like we have this conflict, we have like this pink elephant in the room. Like, how do we all talk about this? Is this going to be them all throwing their opinions and then never listening or like what?
So, yeah, I mean, sometimes for sure.
Yeah.
Like sometimes people just want to like throw mud at you and then leave.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes people watch you in a video and they think they got you figured out too.
Yeah,
exactly.
Which
is so funny. Cause like, dude, okay, Josh, I'm going to bust you right now.
Oh, dear.
So Josh is such a wild card, right?
Right.
But recently we were playing a game of Mafia, which is a deception game. And at the end of the game, this game was a dunk, right? Josh knew what was going on, but at the very end, he acted like he was with the bad guy team out of nowhere. And I was like, you just revealed your fucking self to me, bro. I was like, I know this motherfucker. So you already knew what was about to happen and that the game was about to end, and you decided to prolong the entertainment a little bit.
Yeah.
And that, I was like, he slipped a little bit, because usually you do it so well that it's more cloaked in the game. And then, like I said, there's cameras, lights, and people are on you and you're interacting with everybody.
Right.
But this one, I was like, this is such an overt like move to go the other way. I know who you are. I saw
and
it.
And that's how you learn tells. Or exactly. You think you learn tells.
True. That's
you
how
know,
you learn
that's
tells.
How you think you learn tells.
Yeah. But yeah, that's how I know. You calculate and you're like, I'm about to fucking flip a coin, bitch.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's what I do sometimes. Antoine recently caught on, so then I was just like, fuck. Like whenever we're in game now, Antoine's just like, no, dude, just killed Josh. And I'm like, oh, you motherfucker.
Does it ever make you second guess yourself? Like reading, do you ever like read the comments and then like go, oh, maybe I shouldn't say this or maybe I shouldn't make this move?
I'd say the comment, well, again, kind of going back to comedy and comments as well, I feel like I kind of, like a lot of times like I'll talk and I'll pause or I'll say something, but then I'll have to like kind of like second guess. I'm like, wait a second. Is this way too insensitive? Is this like really like, is this like a bad move? Like I have like a certain type of like humor, but I don't think like a lot of people like in like the cast have it. I mean, maybe the editors, but it's just like I have a certain type of humor and I'm like, fuck, I'm not sure if like it'll like play well on camera.
It always does.
Yeah.
It always does.
But like it'll like be like really there and I'm like, I'm not sure. So then I'll just like say something, like I'll look at everyone like laughing. I'm like, okay, that's good. That's good.
Or sometimes I see what you are thinking about saying and then we make eye contact and then you start laughing and you don't even have to say it.
Exactly, exactly. But funny. I think sometimes like when I'm making moves in gameplay, before I would probably say I don't think about the comments, but I think a little bit about like the comments, like, oh, like, what are they going to say about this move? What are they going to say about that move? But I guess we're like, for the most part, it got to a point where I don't really care that much. Like, I'm just like, yo, this may end the game. This may ruin the game, but let me just throw an experiment. Let me just try. Like, it may work. It may not work. I'll just reveal myself and see, like, if anyone believes me.
People probably won't. You're trolling, man. Yeah. You're hyper subtle troll.
Well, he likes taking risks. So that's what makes him a wild card is that he'll just play around and, like, switch it up every time, and you just don't even know.
That's what I'm saying. He's Riverboat Josh, dude. He's always a gambler. Always.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're at the end of our topic today. Thank you so much for joining us. We like to do a thing at the end where we just say like our final thought. So like something that like wraps it all up. Do you want
to
start, Steve?
I would love to start.
Go ahead.
First of all, I just want to say, if you're out there, you're getting bullied. The only person that can really, I hope you're not getting physically bullied.
Yeah.
But the only person that can really hurt you. In a lot of ways is yourself, and that's something that I've been grappling with a lot lately, where I have had a personal revelation that my biggest bully has been me, and I have been fighting that person by going to the gym and things like that, that makes me feel like I'm beating my own bully.
Yeah, and you're most improved.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when I work on something, I go hard.
Yeah. I think you deserve that trophy.
Thank you.
For sure. Like he works really, really, really hard and then it pays off. And like, there's a huge difference.
That's why they call me the miracle man.
Even if you're not like winning a physical trophy, it's like you definitely like most improved, like completely most improved.
Well,
I would get you a trophy for that.
I would like one.
Okay.
This is the sweetest moment I've seen between you two in a long time.
Is it? Oh, yeah, because you always see this on Jackie Party Days where it's vicious.
See, I just see
Steve just like yelling at Nikki the most time, and I'm like, I fucking love this.
It's a rivalry, okay?
It's competitive.
We're playing board games. It's fun. Like, fuck. Lighten up, people. But I guess for me, this has been a learning experience. I just didn't know those type of like personas get taken seriously with a board game. And I would just say, like, let people be wrong about you. I think I've said this before. And also set boundaries. So like being able to know the difference between what is criticism and what is like actual hate and toxicity that can be removed. And I just had a really good thing
to say. I think that was
great. No, but I had like a
awesome.
Really...
Criticism
no,
is not hatred, necessarily.
That's it. Oh, you're not going to please everybody. That was it.
There you go.
You're not going to please everybody. There's always going to be someone out there that doesn't like you.
So oh, yeah.
You just got to... just got to do you, man.
Yeah. I think my message would just be that... I think just... No matter what, like while you're growing up, just do you. Really appreciate the things that you do. Appreciate who you are as a person, because like no matter what, again, you live only by yourself. Like you are your complete vision. So like kind of like look at yourself as, I'd say look at yourself kind of like a character in a story. Like there are different story arcs. There are different like things that happen. So like let whatever weird part of you, let it be the story arc. See it from beginning to end and just accept that part. And just whoever doesn't like you, They don't like you. That's just a supporting character that will probably get axed out by the end of the season.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
I also love how you make your choices based off what the future headline could be. You're like, well, I don't want that headline, so I'll go that way.
Let's go that way.
In the story arc. My character goes that way. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. Where can they find you, Josh?
You can find me at my Instagram.com/dubhalo, DUBHALO, and my Twitch too.
What's your Twitch?
My Twitch is the exact same, twitch.tv/dubhalo, DUBHALO.
That's good branding.
And where can they find you in LA Nightlife?
LA Nightlife, probably at home, because then I don't go out.
Streaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
At home getting hella pussy, though.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah, baby.
Hell yeah.
Oh, God. We got to go. Feel free to email us, podcast@nikki.limo. Follow us at Shit They Don't Tell You on Instagram and at Shit They Don't on Twitter. And we will see you next time.
Bye. Thank you. Please rate us. It helps so much.
Please
thank you.
Please don't leave a mean comment.
I know.
Check out our Patreon.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.